anybody's language. Done a good job, son. Well, it's good to be here, isn't it? Aren't you glad you're in church? Amen. I'd rather be in church than any place I know of today. I was looking at the bulletin, and we got a lot of people that's had birthdays. Sister Corners has had a birthday. And Maud Wiggins has had a birthday. And Emma Doss had a birthday. And Betty Ushry, her birthday and mine was the same day. And Betty, I don't know how old she was, but I was 82. How old is she? 94. Goodness gracious. I don't think I'll ever make it. I got a brother that's got a birthday on the 27th. He'll be 90. And I was looking through the rest of these years. Jeremiah Kidwell's on the 11th, and Diane Kidwell. Where'd you go, Diane? Oh, yeah. She had a birthday on the 12th. And I bet you I can guess her age. You want me to tell them? She was 62, and she looked like she's 14. And Gracie Taglarini had a birthday, or will have, on the 25th, and Jody Shelton's the 27th, same time my brother's is. So, I think we ought to sing happy birthday.
Amen.
Come on.
No.
Do it.
When Brother Ray Lindsay says, come on, you come on. Let's sing it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, God
bless you.
And you.
Happy birthday to you.
Amen. You did a good job, son. Did a good job. Well, I tell you, God's been so good to us. Back when I was 15 years old, I was looking forward to getting my driver's license in a few weeks. And I borrowed an old car from a friend of mine, and I went down and took the driver's test. Didn't have a car. All I had was a team of mules. And an old sled. The mules pulled the sled, and I had an old wagon that we used that, but I didn't have a car. But I went down anyway and took my driver's test, and I got my driver's license. I thought, boy, I was sitting on top of the world. And that was when I was 16 years old. Never dreamed that I'd be here on 82 years old. Oh, I tell you, God's so good to us. We ought to just love Him on general principles, whether He ever does anything for us or not. But He gives us breath to breathe and food to eat and clothes to wear and shelter, a place to live. And I mean, you could just go on and on and on of the things that God does for you and I. And we ought to love Him with all of our heart.
Amen.
It's so good to be back at East Sly. When Brother Joe called me, I said, where are you going? You going off? You know, he don't call me unless he's going off. And he said, yeah. Wanted to see if you could preach for us. I said, yes, sir. I didn't even look at my book, see, because there wasn't no need, no way, there wasn't anything in it. And so I just told him I'd be glad to fill in for him while he's gone. It's always, I look forward to coming to Sly Avenue Baptist Church. And it's good to see all of you here. I know some probably out sick, some probably gone on vacations and things like that, and that's understandable. There's a lot of empty pews at the church where I go. People go on vacation. You can't blame them. They get a week off and once a year, maybe 2 weeks a year, and they deserve to take a vacation. I just hope they don't, none of them take a vacation on God, but they find a good church somewhere and go to church. But I've been looking forward to the day. I got in here on my flight on Thursday, and I was looking forward to being here to the service and hearing all the good singing that y'all do. And I enjoyed Brother Joe's verse and Miss... Renee, yeah. I knew who she was. It just had a senior moment there for amen. So, I just need you to pray for my wife. She is having problems. Her blood pressure, I don't know what it is. She went to 3 doctors. She went last Friday to Dr. Taglerini. And that's some of his kin folks. And she's been going to cardiologists, and she's been going to, and this may be the problem, I don't know. Maybe going to too many doctors. But she goes to Dr. Mitchell, and so her blood pressure's running. Yesterday is 224 over 100 and something. And, you know, that's dangerously high. That could cause you a stroke or a heart attack or something. But I would really appreciate it if you'd pray for her. She wanted to be here today with me and with y'all. But she just didn't feel that she could make it. And so if you'll pray for her, I would appreciate that so much. Encourage you to come back tonight now and hear Brother Chris. You got something fired up, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Amen. That'll be good. All right. I was halting between two opinions. I had a mean message and no, it wasn't really mean. But it was a different type of message. And God began to deal with my heart. And I've always tried to listen to the Holy Spirit when he speaks to my heart about a message. I've been, when I was pastor here, there'd be times I'd have a message that I was going to preach. And sitting up here waiting for the choir to get through, and God changed my mind just like that. And I don't know why he does that, but sometimes that happens. Well, I'm going to bring a message this morning on one of the greatest men in the Bible. And that's old brother Job. I want you to turn to the book of Job. And I want to read the first verse of the first chapter and hope that you'll go home and read the rest of that chapter and then chapter 2. Hope you'll do that when you get home sometime after the service. Don't do it while we're in service, but I want to read one verse. And that's on page 569 if you've got a Scofield Bible. But if you don't have that, it's your fault. Amen. But 569, Job is little book just after you see Esther there and right before you get to the book of Psalms. So if you have a problem finding the book of Job. One of the oldest books in the Bible. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. That word eschewed means he avoided it, or he hated it. He despised evil. No, nothing about evil that he wanted to have anything to do with. He wanted to live for God, and he loved God. And I want to tell you that God blessed this man. He blessed him in so many, many ways. And so as we look at that, I want you to see three things about Job this morning. I want to preach on the trials of Job. The trials of Job. And we see three things about Job. We see Job's sufferings. And secondly, we see Satan's workings. And thirdly, we see God's sovereignty. Aren't you glad that God's sovereign in all things? And I'm glad today that God put all this in the Bible. Amen. Father, now I pray that you'll help me this morning. I need you. And Lord, I need the power of the Holy Spirit to bring the message that you've laid on my heart. I want to be a blessing to these people. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to look at this man as an example for our living, because you said he was a great man. He was a wonderful man. And Lord, you don't put those kind of titles on people just to be doing, because you know the hearts of every one of us. And you know all about us. And you know all about Job. Yet you said he was a wonderful man, hated evil and loved God. So, Lord, help us today to love you like Job loved you. And we'll bless your name for whatever you do in this service. If there's one here unsaved, I pray they'll get saved. If there's one here that's out of fellowship with God, this will be the great day that they'll come to you and say, Lord, I've let you down, I'm sorry, and I want you to forgive me. And Lord, you stand with open arms to whosoever will. In Jesus' name, amen. We see Job in this book. God said he was perfect. Now that didn't mean that he was sinlessly perfect. That meant that he was mature in his thinking, in the way that he lived. He loved God. Never been but one sinlessly perfect man in the Bible, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. I know a lot of people think that Paul, the Apostle Paul, was a sinlessly man, but Paul was a man just like I am, and like you are. And Paul had flaws, and Paul did things that was wrong, but he did love God. And all of us, sometime or another, we're going to do things that we ought not to do, but this is no reason for you to throw up your hands and quit. When you do wrong and let God down, come to him and tell him you're sorry, and I promise you, he'll hear your prayer and forgive your sin. You're not sitting up there with a big club waiting to knock you on the head every time you make a mistake. God's not like that. God doesn't love sin. He hates sin, but he loves the sinner. And so, the Bible said that Job loved God. And then secondly, Job lived for God. You know, I want to live for God. I want to be someone that he can be pleased with. I don't want to just hobnob around and in and out and off and on, up and down. I don't want that kind of a Christian life. I want to love God with all of my heart and be faithful to him as long as he leaves me in this old world. And so, there would come a day one day where God and the devil had a conversation. Now, Job didn't know this. Nobody told Job that God and the devil was talking to each other about him. I wonder how much that God and the devil talks to each other about me or about you. Maybe there's a time when God said, "Hey, devil, have you ever considered my servant Bill, Joe, John, Tom, or one of you ladies? Have you ever considered my servant so-and-so?" And I believe that probably happened. I don't know about it. God doesn't tell us about it, but he didn't tell Job about this. And Job was just living his life and trying to serve God. And the Lord said in verse 7, "Unto Satan, whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." And I want to tell you, that rascal's still loose and walking up and down this earth. If you don't believe that, look at your churches and look at your things that's going on, the sin that's going on in the world today. Brother, I'm telling you, the devil's out here doing his best to stop us from living for God. God bless Job. He blessed him physically, and he blessed him spiritually. He was a wonderful man. And and Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught?" And I like this next verse. Boy, I tell you, that sets my soul on fire. It says, "Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he had?" I'm reading verse 10. "On every side thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." God said, the devil said, "You bless this man." God didn't deny that. Listen to what the devil said. "But put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face." Now that's what the devil said about this great man of God. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand." Keep your hands off of him. That's what he said. Satan, don't you touch that man with your wicked hands, because he's my child. So Satan went out forth from the presence of the Lord. And I'm not going to take the time to read all that, but things begin to happen. You see, God is no respecter of person. If God built a hedge around Job, he put a hedge around Chris. He put a hedge around Mickey. God's got a hedge around all of us today. And the devil cannot touch one of God's people only as the Lord allows him to. And if God allows the devil to touch you, I'll tell you what it's for. It's for God's glory. And sometimes God will allow the devil, and it'll be for our good and for God's glory. And I'm telling you, don't you get upset because something happened to you. Maybe God's just running you through a test. So, the devil, first of all, took all of his animals. He was a wealthy man. He had great wealth. And I'll tell you something. He lost all of his animals. He lost his servants. He lost a fire of God had fallen. That's lightning from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And then the Chaldeans come in and took his camels and his servants and killed the servants with a sword. And while he was speaking, there came another one and said, thy sons and thy daughters. He had 10 daughters, three sons. Let's see. He had Job, behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And so Job lost all of his everything that he had. I bet the devil was laughing. He'll sit back and laugh and accuse you to God. That's his business. That's the way he operates. That's what he does. And brother, Job arose and rent his mantle, shaved his head, and fell down upon the ground and worshiped. No, he didn't curse God. He didn't get mad and angry with God. He worshiped. And he said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. What a man. What a man. I'm telling you, Job loved God. And he lived for God. And God blessed him. Now, if that wasn't enough, the devil come along and said, well, I'll tell you, he might not deny you now, but when he says, when you take his health away from him, I'm going to tell you something. It's one thing to have good health. It's another thing to lose it all. And I know some of the greatest Christians in the world that have had cancer, and some of them have died with cancer. My late wife, Miss Jean, sweetest woman that ever walked upon the face of this earth in my eyes. And she wanted to live. But she had cancer. And she never smoked a cigarette, never drunk a drop of alcohol. Weighed almost the same weight that she did when we got married. And she had 4 kids. Doctor said, Miss Lindsay, you look like you've been shot with a shotgun loaded with malignant tumors. They were all over her body, inside. She said to the doctor the day, I sat there and was crying and weeping, and she sat there and smiled and said to the doctor, when the doctor said, Miss Lindsay, I hate to tell you this, but you've got terminal cancer and you're not going to live. She said, you know, I've always thought, doctor, that if I ever got a message like that, it would scare me to death. But she said, I've got a peace in my heart that I never had before. And I know everything's all right. What a Christian ought to be. God wants us to trust Him when something is going wrong and something is not what it ought to be, what we want it to be. Trust God anyway. Amen. The devil said, put forth your hand and touch his health. And Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But put forth thine hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. That devil's a liar. He don't even know the truth. He don't know what he's talking about. He lies on you and me. He lies on everybody. He is a liar, and the Bible said the father of lies. You don't even know the truth. Jesus said in John 8:32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Amen. Amen. He said, put forth thine hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. I want to tell you something. Listen. You will never die until God says it's time to come home. Amen. I believe that with every fiber of my soul. I don't believe the devil can touch one of God's children only as God allows him to do that. He said, don't you touch his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils. I don't know what kind of sores he had, but I know what a boil is. But he didn't have just one boil. I remember when I was a little boy growing up, we'd get boils. I don't know if you ever got boils or not. But I know what Mama used to do. We didn't run to the doctor every time somebody's nose ran a little snot. Mama would get an arsh potato and scrape that arsh potato and make a poultice and wrap it up and put that arsh potato on the boil, and it would draw that boil to head, and she'd open it and take care of it. Job had them from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He had them all over him. And somebody said, and I don't know if this is true or not, but somebody said they thought he may have had leprosy. That was an incurable disease. Only God could cleanse leprosy. And the Bible said, He took him a potsherd. After he had that, he took him a potsherd, a piece of a broken pot, to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes, in a pile of ashes. But now, not only did he have lost his animals, and he lost his children, all 10 of them, and then he lost his home and everything he had and the children had, and then he lost his health. Now, I think I've got pretty good health. I'm thankful for what I've got. I've had a heart attack. I've got 2 stents in my heart. I'm a diabetic. I had cancer of the colon. But God brought me through all of it, and I still take 2 shots a day. But I'm in, I'd say, pretty good health. I'm glad of that, and I appreciate that. But I want to tell you, Job had sores, all boils all over his body from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And his wife then turned against him. You think about that. She said, "Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Why don't you just curse God and commit suicide?" That's what she was suggesting. Because you can't die. There ain't nobody in this house can die until God stops your heart. But there'll be a time in the tribulation period in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, when these monstrosities come upon people and sting them with their tails and all the things that's going to happen during the tribulation period, and they're going to beg God, said, "God, just let us die, please, Lord, let us die." And he says death will flee from them. Won't be able to die. Death sometimes is a blessing when you can't get well. But she said, "Why don't you just curse God, die?" She was saying, "Why don't you curse God and commit suicide?" Listen to what he said. "But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we not receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil?" In all of this, did not Job sin with his lips? Now that pretty well describes Job's sufferings. But he lived for God. And we see his physical condition. And we see his spiritual condition. And we see the work of Satan. Satan, as I already said, could not touch Job unless God give him permission. Now, I used to think that Job's wife was sort of a bad person. But we've got, one thing you've got to realize, a woman is the weaker of the two. She thought, "Job, you can't get well." And I used to criticize Ms. Job, but I think she was just discouraged, and I think she was going through some difficult times, and they'd lost everything, and all of their possessions was gone, and their kids had been killed. I don't know if I could handle that or not. 10 kids gone at one time. His wealth all gone at one time. and then his health all gone. I don't know if I could handle that or not, but God knew Job could. And Satan really went to work on him. And God said, I'm going to take care of you. Amen. I want to tell you, everyone tonight, today, God will take care of you. Remember that song we used to sing? God will take care of you. I don't know how it goes, but that's a song. That's all I'm going to sing of it. But God will take care of us because we're His children. I belong to Him. I'm His responsibility. He's obligated to me because I'm His. And Job had three friends that come to see him. Now with friends like he had, who needs enemies? Because that's all they were. Let me tell you, let me show you what these three friends done. They come to see Job and they sat there for a whole week just looking at him and never said a word. Then when they finally did get around saying something to try to help Job, you know what they said? First thing they said, Job, you're a hypocrite. I invited a lady when I was pastor here to East Sly. She said, I ain't coming over there to that church. Bunch of hypocrites over there. I said, come on over, one more won't hurt. She didn't like that. But I didn't like her calling my church a bunch of hypocrites. We had godly people in this church. Good people. I'm not saying it's a perfect church. No church is perfect. You're going to always have some people that's not what they ought to be. You can't help that. That's God's business. And these three friends said, Job, you're a hypocrite. Job answered them all the way through. All the way through the book of Job. They'd say their part, and then Job would answer. And right on down through this book of Job, you can turn pages in it. But when you get down to the last chapter, we see God's sovereignty. God knows what you can stand. God knows what you can go through. And so we see in Job 42, these two fellas, three fellas, these three so-called friends of Job said, that called Job a hypocrite. Look in verse 7 of chapter 42. It was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz, the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends. For ye have not spoken of me the things which is right as my servant Job hath. You see, God took up for his own. God will always take up for you when we do right. Now, he said, therefore, listen what else he said to him. Verse 8, therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the things which is right, like my servant Job. I like that. Amen. Boy, and so God said, if you want anything from, if you 3 friends of Job want anything from me, I'm not going to hear you. But if you want something, you go to my servant Job and offer those bullocks for your sins, and then Job will pray for you. The fellow that you said was a hypocrite, he'll pray for you. And I'll hear him, but I won't hear what you've got to say. I want to tell you, God is a wonderful God. I'm so glad that I can serve God and love God. And I want to tell you, he'll never, never disappoint you. If something happens, you serve God anyway. If things go bad in your life, don't get mad at God and charge God foolishly. Did you know there are 31 times in the book of Job he is referred to as God Almighty? He is Almighty God, and he knows how to handle old Slewfoot. He knows how to take care of you. If you're his child, you'll never have to worry about God going to sleep and letting you down. He'll take care of you. Let's bow our heads. We're going to sing a song in a minute. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your problems are. I don't know what could happen or has happened in your life. But I want to tell you this. There'll be nothing that'll happen to you only as God permits it. Father, you know the hearts of this people. Lord, we know most of them, a lot of them. And Lord, you've been so good. And I love them, and I know you love them. But Lord, if there's one here today that's unsaved, help them to come and get saved. And Lord, if there's one here that's out of fellowship with God, help them to come and confess their sins to Jesus. And you said you'd forgive them. You said in 1 John 1:9 that if we'll confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Lord, deal with every heart. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. And what number are we going to sing, brother?
163. 163.
163.